Thank you, Scott. I told him beforehand if he needed some backup, I was available. Maybe next year? I love it. I love it. I always love having Scott sing Mary Did You Know, just a little Christmas tradition that we have. It's good. Somebody said this past week at Bible study, that's just the gospel all wrapped into one song. And it is. It's good. It's good. You know, I can sing too, Scott. Yeah, I can sing too. You want a little taste? You haven't answered that question yet. You ready? Now, if you know this song, y'all got to jump in with me, all right? Counting on you, Larry. Larry, did you know this song? It's a joke. Larry, did you know? Yes. Sad. Sorry. Yeah. Y'all were wondering if we're going to have some more dad jokes, all right? Told you. With Jesus in the boat, you can smile in the storm. Smile in the storm. Smile in the storm. With Jesus in the boat, you can smile in the storm. When we're sailing home, sailing, sailing home, sailing home with Jesus in the boat, you can smile in the storm. When we're sailing, y'all don't know that song? Are y'all just like, mm-hmm? Jesus in the boat, you can smile. We used to sing that song. We sang it at VBS. We sang it in children's choir, like when we were done with our presentation, but we still went to choir, you know. We did. We sang that song. It was great. I love that song. I always remember that song. It means basically no matter what, with Jesus, you're going to make it. You're going to be all right. With Jesus in the boat, you can smile in the storm. I like that song, Scott. Maybe we can do like a mix-up with Mary Did You Know and... I don't know why they're laughing. Let's talk about Christmas a little bit. Christmas can get a little hectic, can it? Anybody had a hectic Christmas? At least one day of your Christmas has been a little like, man, this is crazy. Anybody? You can raise your hand. I see, yes, there's a couple of you over here. There's a couple of you sprinkled around. Christmas can get a little busy. Get a little crazy. It can get a little hectic. It can get crazy like making sure you get all the people checked off your list, you know, gift shopping. You know, I like the gift shopping. I think it's a lot of fun. But then I don't realize how many people we actually have to buy for. It's really cool. And then if you don't buy for them last year, they show up on Sundays before Christmas this year. I got you, Danny. I got you this year. You're good. I'm just kidding. My brother-in-law's here. I'm thankful to have he and his family with us. Get to hang out a little bit. You got family coming into town. That can be a little hectic, right? You know? My wife wanted to make sure we cleaned the house before the family got in town. The family's not even coming to our house. They're going to my in-law's house. But we had to have our house clean. Is anybody else like that? Yeah? I got you, Charles. I see your hand. Yeah, absolutely. It's just got to get the house clean. You got a calendar of events. You have Christmas parties, and then you have Christmas get-togethers, and then you have Christmas socials, which are apparently are three different things. And you have Christmas get-together with this family or this kind. It's Christmas. The calendar's full. There's always traffic. That's not even Christmas. That's just something that frustrates me, you know? You got checklist after checklist after checklist of things you have to do to get ready for Christmas, to get ready for Christmas, to get ready for Christmas. It can get a little crazy. You know, I probably left some things off. That's happening. You know, sometimes it's just crazy enough just to get the whole family dressed and to church on time. You know what I mean? Sometimes for some of you, that was your hecticness, was just this morning of getting all the people here. It can get a little crazy. And they're fun. These things are fun, and they kind of add to that layer of Christmas, but they can be a little stressful. You can get a little crazy this morning. So this morning, I want us to look at something in response to all this craziness that's happening. It's found in Luke 2. As we turn to Luke 2, we're going to be there today, and tomorrow night we're going to be in Luke 2. Tomorrow night is our Christmas Eve service. We'll be in here at 5 o'clock. It's going to be very informal. It's going to be very laid back. As we enjoy some time of preparing our hearts for Christmas, and hope if you're in town, we invite you to be here. And come dressed comfortably. Just come hang out. We're going to have a nice time as we get ready for Christmas. So I hope you'll join us tomorrow night at 5. And it'll be a shortened service. It won't be like 2.5 hours long or anything. I think we're going to cut it at 2 hours this year. Is that right, Ben? Yeah, okay. We're going to look at Luke 2, and we're not going to look at the whole passage. I want us to drop down to verse 13. I want us to look at a couple of verses here. I'll give you some good news if Christmas has been a little crazy for you this year. So we have the scene. This is the Christmas story, the birth account of Jesus, and we have Jesus and everything happening over here in the stable and in the manger. And then over here in a field nearby, there were shepherds, and it was nighttime. Y'all know that, right? So it was nighttime in a field nearby, and there were shepherds, and then an angel showed up to the shepherds and to give them the proclamation that Jesus was born and for them to go look at it. And then in verse 13, we see this. It says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. That's the NIV version. The King James version says, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. The New American Standard and the ESV both say, peace among men with whom he is pleased. The Christian Standard says, peace on earth to people he favors. We see this idea, this peace on earth. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever stopped and just kind of honed in on what these angels were talking about when they got to this point of being, and peace on earth. Peace to those on whom his favor rests. Peace, goodwill toward men. We've seen it before. If you actually, on the same page maybe, if you back up, to the first chapter of Luke. At the end of the first chapter of Luke, you see Zechariah, who's the father of John the Baptist, and he was kind of prophesying about John the Baptist, and he said this in his prophecy over John the Baptist, beginning in verse 76. He says this to John the Baptist. He says, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. To guide our feet in the path of peace. We see this. You might even remember back in Isaiah chapter 9. We looked at that a few weeks ago. Remember the prophet, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah was prophesying about the coming Messiah. He says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. He'll be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And what's the last title that he talks about? Prince of Peace. You start looking through this Christmas story, you start seeing that word peace pop up a whole lot. And I was studying this idea of peace, and I started thinking, you know, why is peace such an issue? Why is it so prevalent? Why is it so all over the Christmas story? So let's think about it for a minute. We got some peace issues, don't we? I mean, this world we live in, we have some real peace issues. Think about it. Raise your hands. This is a show of hands. How many of you locked your cars this morning when you left the parking lot to come in here today? How many of you locked your cars? That's a peace issue. No, you don't have to raise your hands anymore, but just answer these questions in your mind. How many of you have a home security system? Don't answer out loud. Just think about it. You have a home security issue? We have a peace issue. How many of you choose not to watch the news because you don't like hearing all the bad news that comes with it because of our peace issue? For those that do watch the news, how many of you you're a staunch Fox News or staunch CNN, and we're not going to watch it? It's a peace issue based on how it's presented. Why do we have a security team at Westmead Baptist Church if we don't have a peace issue? Or an officer on the campus grounds during church hours if we don't have a peace issue? Why is the world around us growing darker and darker seemingly every day if we don't have a peace issue. See, when you look at this Christmas story, you see the need for peace all over the place. From the Old Testament to the actual account, even in Jesus' ministry. Remember what he said to his disciples not long before he left them? He says, "Peace I leave with you, but not the peace that the world offers." Remember him talking about that, about peace? This idea of peace is a big deal. But let's make this peace thing a little more personal. Can we make it a little more personal? Why do we get stressed at Christmas if we don't have a peace issue? Let's talk about the weight of dealing with our first Christmas without a loved one. And I think we'll see a peace issue. Let's talk about the family member who's gone astray and didn't make it back in time to join us at the table this year. Let's talk about peace in that. Let's talk about our loved one who is sick. Let's talk about our loved one that we're not sure if we're going to have next Christmas. Is there peace in that? Do we long for peace? Let's talk about the real pain that we're dealing with inside, but we've covered over with a smile, and we tell our friends just to get through this Christmas. Church, we have a peace issue. And the good news about that today is that God knows we have a peace issue. And he sent the Prince of Peace. Peace can be defined as the absence of conflict. Let you think about this. When was the last time that fully defined you? The absence of conflict. There may be certain areas in your life were going great, but you still were dealing with this. And maybe school's out for a little bit, but we're still dealing with the peer pressure. Or maybe I get a few days off of work, but man, our debt this year is going to be really crazy. Or hey, you know what? Things are going to go with my kids, but my marriage is falling apart. Or hey, my marriage is going great, but my kids are just... When was the last time you could be defined by the absence of conflict? 100%. That's the definition of peace. When was the last time all was right in the world, as Ralphie said at the end of A Christmas Story? When was the last time that defined your world? That all was right in the world. We got a peace issue. But here's something very unique about peace. We recognize it quite easily, don't we? But you know what's unique? You can't create your own peace. I mean, you can kind of compartmentalize a few things and reorganize and shift some things around to make it feel a little more peaceful, but you cannot create your own peace. I mean, even the world, we have governments and we have officials that broker peace treaties and all of these wonderful things, but you know what? At the end of the day, they don't stay that way long. Or we might have peace over here with these people, and then suddenly we have a problem over here with these people, mainly because of the peace that we just established. We can't even create our own peace. We recognize it. We can't create it. Look at Luke 1:79 again. To shine on those living in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Ken Taylor, who's a pastor and he's on staff at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. This is what he was quoted as saying. Listen to this statement. He says, "In the middle of a corrupt and fallen world, Jesus did the greatest work ever done. In this darkness that sometimes seems so deep that we can never escape, the light of the world shines forth with love and power so strong, the darkest night can be swept away by just the presence of one baby born in Bethlehem." We recognize this every Christmas, the coming of a king. But church, I don't want you to overlook the prince that we got at Christmas. I don't want you to miss this message of peace that God had orchestrated and sent to us in the form of Jesus Christ at Christmas. And we can laugh and we can make jokes about how hectic and how crazy and maybe even how stressful Christmas is, but if we focus on that and miss out this Prince of Peace, then we ourselves are robbing ourselves of the joy that is reminded and given to us at Christmas. This Prince of Peace. This light that shines and the darkness flees. We even talked about it already in chapter 2 when the shepherds were out keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel showed up. And what happened when the angel showed up? The glory of the Lord shone round about the shepherds. Because where there is the presence of the glory of the Lord, the darkness flees. That is the power that we have in Christ Jesus. That are just the message foretelling about Jesus was enough to expel the darkness. And here we have this baby. I love what the angel said to the shepherds that night. Yeah, it was the first time the gospel was ever proclaimed. It was in Luke chapter 2. I mean, look what the angel said if you're still there. Look in Luke 2. I bring you good news that will cause you great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, three titles that he's given here. A Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. The first time the gospel was ever told to anyone was to shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night when an angel said, there's a Savior, there's a Messiah, and he is Lord. And he is here. And you should really go see him. And they went and they knelt and they experienced the presence of God. And then they went and they started telling everybody else exactly what had been told to them. But Mary, she kept all these things and treasured them and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds went back to the fields giving praise and glory to God. Because that is the result of the joy that comes from the Prince of Peace. Is that we are in awe and worship before him. That we can't help but to tell others about him. And we even have to take a few minutes to kind of reflect on these things internally like Mary did. And then that we go back to where we were, but we don't go back the same. We go back praising God for the things he has done. For we have experienced his glory. And then this angelic choir showed up and started singing about peace. Let me ask you a question. This Christmas, what's hindering your joy? And I'm not saying that we're all doom and gloom here. I know some of y'all are excited. I hope we're all excited about Christmas. But man, if you've been struggling this Christmas, what's hindering your joy this year? Because man, let me tell you, there's some hard things going on in this world, right? There's some families in our church going through some hard things this Christmas, right? We gathered together as a staff a few weeks ago, and we just went down the list of people whose Christmases were going to be different because somebody, an immediate family member, was gone. It's a long list, guys. I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm just being honest. I've struggled this Christmas myself. It's hard. When you're dealing with the loss of people, it's hard. But we have a peace. A peace that says in the face of conflict, in the face of hardship, in the face of loss, in the face of the unknown which is tomorrow, Jesus is. You know, there's another layer to this whole peace thing. It's actually found in Romans chapter 5. If you have a minute, flip over to Romans chapter 5. I just want to show you a few quick verses. See, when we have the Prince of Peace, it's because we have a peace issue. It's because everything around us is just kind of crazy. It's just kind of bubbling over. It can get out of hand real carefully. You know why? Because we're not in control. And we deal with this personal storms. We deal with these things that happen in our lives because we yearn for peace, but we can't create it in our own situations. Therefore, we must trust. We must have faith in God. We must have faith that when he says that this mighty God, this wonderful counselor, this Prince of Peace, the Prince of Peace is for us. to meet us where we are, because Jesus, while he was born in a manger, grew up a man and experienced life in the same capacity that you and I did. He was tempted. He struggled. He had heartbreak. Remember, the shortest verse in Scripture is Jesus wept because one of his really good friends had died, and he was burdened by that pain of loss. And we have confidence in this because even in all this, he is still the Prince of Peace, because even though he experienced all the things that you and I can experience, there's still hope that we have in him. There's still redemption found in him, because the first peace treaty that was ever really established, that was definite, was found right here in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 10. It says this: "For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" Did you see that? Paul writes that before Christ, whether that is before you had a personal relationship with Christ, or for some of you, if you're not really sure if that's you, then we're seen and listed as enemies of God. Enemies of God apart from Christ. I'll be honest with you, man, that's like the most hopeless thing you could even think about at Christmas. Being an enemy of God. That's how we were viewed. That's who we were. Because we had chosen our own way. We had thought we had a better plan than God, so we tried to do it in a way that we were in charge, that we were in control, and we messed it up. And because we messed it up, because of our choosing to choose, our choice of us over God, then that makes us enemies of God. That removes our holiness and righteousness, because we're not a part of him, so we have no holiness or righteousness other than self-righteousness, which doesn't do anybody any good. And what we have that we've been able to create ourselves has made us enemies of God. But look in verse 8. "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while we were still enemies, Christ died for us." This is the Prince of Peace doing what he does best. There was mankind and there was God, and they were enemies. They were not on the same playing field. There was no fellowship. But then there was a Prince of Peace that stepped in and formed the greatest treaty that has ever been known to mankind. When, while we were still enemies, while we were still sinners, Christ died. Out of his great love for us, Christ died for us. He died in our place. He died. He became the enemy of God so that we might have fellowship with God. Prince of Peace, making righteousness with God. So we see in verse 1 the culmination of this, 10, 8, now verse 1, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have" what? "Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Yeah, he might have started off in a manger, but this Prince of Peace grew up and did something about our problem. He did something about our sin. He did something about our unrighteousness. And the peace he established was a peace treaty with the Almighty God. That's the story that he has for every single one of us. And there are people in this room that maybe you just needed to be reminded that, yeah, he is the mighty God. He's the King of Kings, but guess what? He's also the Prince of Peace. And that as we face those last 48 hours before Christmas and in part of Christmas, don't miss the Prince of Peace, of how he longs to give you the peace that only comes from knowing him. But for some people this morning, maybe you've heard this story of salvation over and over again, and it's just kind of the same old thing. But let me remind you, the story of salvation is not the same old thing. It's the story of your redemption. It's the story of the Prince of Peace being just that, to reestablish in a way for you to have access to God because of his great love, as the Breedlove family showed us that in the lighting of the Advent candle. Because of the love of God, because of the Prince of Peace, your fellowship can be restored with God through Christ. Is that your story today? Is that the peace you're missing out on? Is that the prince you've been looking for? We've been talking about a King of Kings, but the whole time you've just been needing a prince of peace. Jesus is our Prince of Peace. He came on Christmas to make a way for us to be reestablished in our fellowship with the Father. He came to earth, and the darkness fled, and a way was made to have peace with God. Is that your story today? Is that the peace that could transform your Christmas? Because it's available to you. Don't forget peace. Because when we have peace with Jesus in the boat, we can smile in the storm. Smile in the storm. Smile in the storm. If our dad or mom is gone, or our spouse, or life is hard this year, when life didn't give what we wanted for Christmas, we can still smile in the storm, smile in the storm, because Jesus is in the boat, and we can smile in the storm when we're sailing home. I hope you have peace this Christmas. Let me pray for you. God, I thank you that your Son, the Prince of Peace, didn't just stay in a manger. The Prince of Peace made a way for us to know you as the giver of peace. That God, for anybody here today that's been struggling with Christmas or loss or life, God, I pray that they give you a chance to show you them that you are the Prince of Peace. And God, if that means they just need to come down and kneel at the altar or just move towards you, God, just some type of symbolism of showing, God, that they're moving towards you, then God, I pray that they would be bold enough to do that today, God, that they're not worried about what people they're sitting with or came with would think, but God, that they would move towards you and God, for the first time, experience the Prince of Peace. Or God, the person that's scared of Christmas Day because they know what they're going to have to face on that day, Father, I pray today that they would move towards you, the Prince of Peace. God, I would pray that that person in the room, that they're still enemies of you, they're still at war with you, God, because they're still trying to do it on their own. And God, may you just remind them today that they cannot afford their own redemption. That you have made a way through this person of Jesus. And that today the opportunity, the invitation is to them to receive the love that comes from Christ so that they can have peace with you and belong to you, Father. God, whatever it is that you've laid on our hearts today, may we not be proud, but may we come seeking the same way the wise men did, the same way the shepherds did. May we come seeking a Savior that we believe will change and transform everything. God, give us peace, but may it only be through Jesus. So God, as we stand, however you call, may we respond in obedience. In your name we pray. Amen.